In the name of Jesus, amen. The text is that which was just read. When we make the statement, "I wonder what he or I wonder what she is really like," it indicates that we believe that people put on or pretend to be something which in fact they are not at all, as if they might have something to hide. The external or the outward behavior is not a true reflection or a true indication of what's inside. The word personality comes from two Latin words, per sonare, to sound through, like the comedy or tragedy masks on the actors in the ancient Greek and Roman theater. The real person is behind the mask. Well, the text today indicates that in a certain sense, in a manner of speaking, God acts in alien fashion, wears a mask. Verse 20 says, "The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." His faith is masked or covered. You don't know everything about him from the creation, but you know he's there behind it. Or perhaps it could be described like this. If you can think of the creation, the universe, as a giant computer, there must be some remarkable mind behind it which programmed it. Or one scientist has described the creation as a watch which is running down, becoming more and more disordered or disorganized. Now, obviously, if it's running down, it must be running down from some place. And the questions would be, number one, who wound it up? And secondly, what's he really like? One more illustration, Joseph and his brothers in the Old Testament. You recall that they hated him. They certainly would not bow down to him. And finally, they sold him into slavery in Egypt. And then, much later, when they stood in front of him, he disguised himself, veiled his face, if you will, pretended to be something which in fact he was not at all. The King James says he acted in alien fashion. He made himself strange to them, and they were frightened. And after what they had done, they had good reason to be. They really deserved nothing but wrath. They knew they were ungodly. They knew they were unrighteous. They knew they were without excuse. And now here they were in front of their brother. They didn't recognize him, but it says he acted in alien fashion, as an alien to them. He knew who they were. He knew what they were like, and he knew what they had done. And he had the right and the authority and, of course, every reason to cast them from his presence forever into prison. And then, looking right at him, they couldn't penetrate the mask to see behind it, to see what he was really like, to see what he had in mind for them, to see what was hidden in his heart. And from his behavior, they were frightened. Listen to them. "And they said one to another, 'We are verily guilty concerning our brother.'" They had guilty consciences, "in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." They stood in front of him without excuse. They were unrighteous. They knew it. And certainly they must have thought to themselves, "When will he take off the veil? When will he uncover himself, reveal to us what he's really like?" And surely they must have hoped. They must have hoped that he would show some sign, some expression of kindness and of love. Well, we are those brothers standing in front of our brother, the creator of the whole universe, and we're no different from those brothers by nature. The Pharaoh in the hearts of every one of us defiantly says, "Who is Jehovah that I should obey his voice?" We know we want to rule ourselves. We know we don't want to bow down to him. And in our heart of hearts, we know that we're ungodly and unrighteous, and we know what we deserve. And like the brothers, we hope. We hope for some sign, for some indication, for some expression of love, compassion, concern from him toward us. Well, that really is what Epiphany is all about, this season in which we now find ourselves. God has revealed himself. During Advent and Christmas and now Epiphany, we've seen and heard the kindness and the love of God toward us. We've seen and heard with the shepherds, with the wise men, with Simeon, with Anna, this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. We know that Joseph finally unveiled himself to his brothers, showed them that he was kind, kindly disposed to them, merciful to them, forgiving. Luther says, Jesus is our completely friendly Joseph. God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, the God of all creation, has now shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. This is the Word made flesh. God in flesh made manifest, veiled in flesh the Godhead. See, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Advent and Christmas and now Epiphany all remind us of what God is really like. The veil has been lifted, the mask removed. Our brother has revealed himself and he's smiling. He's pleased with us. And Isaiah predicted the place of the uncovering when he said this in the 25th chapter. And he will destroy in this mountain. We all know what that mountain is now. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people will he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, "Lo, this is our God." It shall be said in that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Death is swallowed up in victory. It'll happen at Jerusalem, Isaiah says, and all the world will know about it. What else could Isaiah have had in mind but the atonement for sin? And that atonement for sin was hidden in Christ's heart as he lay helpless in the arms of the Virgin in Bethlehem. It was in his heart when he stood alongside his father at the carpenter's bench in Nazareth. It was there in his heart as a 12-year-old in the temple about his father's business. It was there in his heart at baptism, and then finally on the tree. The heart of God is uncovered, and we can see what he's really like. "Behold the man. Lo, this is our God." There is no other God. You cannot know God apart from this man, Luther says, who is God. And God has always been like this. The atonement has always been there in his heart. Christ in the bosom of the Father. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The gospel is the everlasting gospel. Obviously, God is not like us at all. He has nothing to hide. He wants us to know this bright mystery and to believe it. The glory of the Lord has been revealed. All flesh is to see it. This is the gospel of which Paul was not ashamed, for therein, he says, the righteousness of God is revealed. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. The content of the gospel is God's righteousness. We don't have any of our own. Luther says we're dead in alien sin and we live by alien righteousness. Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness, just as I am your sin. And the Holy Spirit in revealing this to us, wants us to believe it and live. The text says, the just shall live by faith in this righteousness. And so we, with the shepherds and the wise men, with Anna, Simeon, we can't help but speak of the things which we have heard and seen. And you will reveal, you will uncover for your people the face of this Lord, his countenance, to show them that in the beloved, in Christ, he's pleased with us. We're accepted in him. May God grant you the strength and the willingness to do that in all of your ministry for his dear son's sake. Amen.